How in the world can you conquer your Jericho? Let's find out. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Jericho's a picture of a type of sin, something in your life, something in my life that is tough. It's difficult. It's a stronghold. It's a fortress. It's got walls that seemingly go up and up and up. Everybody has a Jericho. Everybody has some sin that is just a tough sin for them. What's your Jericho? What's the thing that is difficult for you? Hey, whatever your Jericho is, whatever that fortress is, whatever that high wall is, God wants to bring it down in your life.
He can heal every scar.
In your life, how can you experience victory over difficulties that seem impossible to overcome? Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve will help you find the answer to that question on this edition of From His Heart, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Jeff that this year is celebrating 20 years of sharing real truth, love, and hope with the lost and hurting world. We're supported by our listeners and want to say thank you for all you do to allow us to sustain and even expand this ministry in ways we never could have imagined back in the day. So thank you so very much in joining this outreach with your support. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for this ministry. Now the lesson today is entitled, Conquering Your Jericho. It's from Pastor Jeff's inspiring 10-message series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. And we've been in it all this month so far. Open your Bible now to Joshua chapter 6 and prepare to be encouraged as Pastor Jeff reveals how, through faith, patience, and obedience, you can conquer your Jericho.
Joshua is a book of conquests, and today we want to talk about conquering your Jericho. One of the great Old Testament miracles was the battle and the conquest of Jericho. Jericho is a walled city. It's not a big place. It's about 9 acres. Not big, but very tall and seemingly impregnable. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses is recounting what the 10 faithless spies said when they first went to the land 40 years previous. And he said, this is what you guys told me. The people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. Fortified to heaven. That's what they said about Jericho. Now, Jericho is an interesting city. It's one of the oldest cities in the world. Jericho was a double-walled city. You had one outer wall that probably encompassed that 9 acres, and then you had 15 feet inward, you had an inner wall. And this is all corroborated through archaeology and things like that. They've done a lot of digs at Jericho. And inside, you had an inner wall, and inside that inner wall was about 6 acres. Not very big, but it was very tall and very fortified. They had walls that reached to heaven. So the archaeologist that did lots of work at Jericho said this. This is what they found. You had this embankment, this stone wall that was around, you know, Jericho's up on a hill. So you have this stone wall, this embankment, almost like a stone berm around the base of Jericho. And that stone berm was about 8 feet to 12 feet high. It's a retaining wall. And then on top of that, you had mud brick. And the mud brick was 6 feet thick and about 20 feet tall. And then on the top of the retaining wall, you have the mud brick wall that goes up 6 feet wide, 20 feet tall. And then you have that 15 feet in between the other wall, but it's going up, it's ascending up. And then you have another wall, that inner wall, that's just like the outer wall. It's going to be 6 feet thick. It's going to be 20 feet high. And from ground level, when you look at the top of that inner wall, it's about 66 feet up. It's like looking up at a 7-story building. See, they said that the cities in the Promised Land, namely Jericho, the walls are fortified and they reach up to the heavens. They weren't just making that up. That's what it looked like to to them. So Jericho is a picture of a type of sin, something in your life, something in my life that is tough. It's difficult. It's a stronghold. It's a fortress. It's got walls that seemingly go up and up and up. Everybody has a Jericho. Everybody has some sin that is just a tough sin for them. You know, it's said of Superman, way back when they did the Superman show with the first Superman, who looked like he needed to diet and go to the gym. But that first guy, Weissmuller, I think was his name, the swimmer, he sure didn't look like the Supermans today. But it said in the credits, in the opening credits, that Superman, he is faster than a speeding bullet. He's more powerful than a locomotive. He's able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. But even Superman had his kryptonite. And Superman might have been able to do all sorts of things, but if you get him next to kryptonite, he was weak as a kitten. He couldn't handle kryptonite. Everybody's got kryptonite. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something that is very, very difficult for you. So here's the question, what's your kryptonite? What's your kryptonite? What's your Jericho? What's the thing that is difficult for you that always seems to pop up, that seems to have these high walls that you say, man, I have victory over this and this and this, but then I hit Jericho and it's like, ugh, it's got me again. Hey, whatever your Jericho is, whatever that fortress is, whatever that high wall is, God wants to bring it down in your life. And he can do that. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, for the tearing down of strongholds, for the taking the walls of Jericho, so to speak, and pulling them down. So God gives us a beautiful picture in Joshua chapter 6 of how to conquer our Jericho. It says in Joshua 6, beginning in verse 1, now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. They were ready for the siege because they just shut the gates and it's like, what are you going to do? How are you going to get in here? We have this wall and it's been harvest time, so we have lots of grain stored up and there's a spring in Jericho and so we have a water supply. So how are you going to possibly hurt us? It was tightly shut. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. And you shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. You shall do this for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead. 3 key truths for conquering your Jericho. You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. 3 key truths. Truth number 1, understand that you fight from victory, not for victory. The Lord made it clear to Joshua, Jericho has already been given to you. He had told him in Joshua chapter 1, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, that land I have given to you as I spoke to Moses. The promised land is yours. You just have to go get it. Jericho has already been given to you. You're just going to have to go and get it. Look at verse 2 again. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given, not I will give, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. The Lord has already conquered. The Lord has already overcome. When Jesus met John on the island of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1, John, who was so close to Jesus, John, who laid his head on Jesus' breast at the Lord's Supper, at the Last Supper, John, who had that tight relationship with Jesus, but he sees in Revelation chapter 1, he sees the Lord in all his beauty and all his glory and all his splendor. He falls down at his feet like a dead man, and the Lord has to raise him up. And he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. The Lord has won the victory. He has overcome. He told them in John chapter 16, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Now, Jesus won the victory when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. The last thing that he said was, it is finished. Not I am finished, but it is finished. Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. And the Lord breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the price was paid. It is finished literally means paid in full. He paid the price for your sin and my sin. He rose again from the dead. That's the exclamation point. And that makes everything, it pulls it all together, and the Lord has won the victory. And as his followers, he has given the victory to us. So he's won it, and he's given it to us. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. He's given us the victory. See, no Christian is a victim. We're victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already been given the victory. The Bible says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us into a saving relationship, into our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have everything you need to walk in victory, to tear down the walls of Jericho. The victory has already been given to you. But in all these things, it says in Romans 8:37, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. You're a super conqueror in Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible makes it clear, Romans chapter 6, Colossians chapter 3, that a believer in Jesus, one who has true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about a make-believer, I'm not talking about a pretender, but someone who has really turned from sin and turned to the Savior and has the Holy Spirit living inside, that person, the Bible says, is dead to sin. You're dead to sin and you're alive to God. So the scripture says in Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And it tells us we're dead to sin, and then it says this. Now, that's on paper. We are dead to sin as believers on paper. But then there's practice. Paper and practice are two different things. So it says on paper you're dead to sin. But let's face it, I don't feel like I'm dead to sin. Do you feel like you're dead to sin? We don't feel like it. But truth is not what you think. It's not what you conjecture. It's not what you feel. Truth is what God says. He says you're dead to sin. And then he goes on to say this, Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So I am dead, but I have to consider myself dead. I am dead, but I have to reckon myself dead. Warren Wiersbe explains it this way. He said, you know, you can believe the promises of God without reckoning the promises of God. He said, what's the difference? He said, if I write you a check and give you a check and you accept that check, that's like believing the promises of God. But reckoning the promises of God is endorsing the check, taking the check to the bank, endorsing the check, and cashing the check. And that's how you consider yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And the scripture says that is desperately what you need to do and what I need to do. The Lord has given us the victory. It's very interesting how the Lord tells them what he tells them to do. He has a lot of sevens in here. You shall march around the city, you and the men of war, once every day for 6 days. And then verse 4, and then seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. And then on the seventh day, you shall march seven times, and the priests are going to blow the trumpet. Now, in the life of the Jews, the Lord gave them two trumpets. They had the silver trumpet. The silver trumpet was used for an alarm. It was used as a call to war. And then you had the shofar, the ram's horns. And the ram's horns were used primarily to signal celebration. Now, when the Lord says that you are going to blow, the priests are going to blow the trumpets, he says it's a ram's horn. It's not a call to war. It's not an alarm. It's a shout of victory. It's a blast of celebration. The ram's horn was used on Jubilee, that 50th year where the debts were released and the slaves went free, and it was a time of freedom, a time of liberty, and a time of celebration. What did they blow? They blew the ram's horn. God is saying in this passage, you blow the ram's horn. Why? Because you already have the victory. And we're not going to blow the trumpet for a call to arms. We're going to blow the victory trumpet and the celebration trumpet, because the battle is the Lord's and he has already won it. So, first key truth, understand that you fight from victory, not for victory. Secondly, understand that you overcome through faith and patience. Those two things are critical, faith and patience. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 6, that you may not be sluggish, that you may not be lazy, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and patience. Those two things are critical. Look what it says in verse 6. So God gives Joshua the battle plan, and it's a strange battle plan. I mean, we'd all agree. We're gonna circle around this city. You could probably do it. It's only 9 acres. So you probably walk around the city in a march, and it maybe take you 15, 20 minutes. It's not going to take you real long. But you're going to do that once in the morning and then go back to camp, and do it second day, go back to camp, and the priests are blowing the ram's horn. And then on the seventh day, you're going to do it 7 times. That would take you maybe a couple of hours. And then on the 7th time around, then they're going to blow a long blast on the ram's horn. Then you're going to shout, and then the walls are coming down. That's what God said. And so, you know, it would have been easy for Joshua to say, Lord, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. But he doesn't. One of the things you'll find when you read about Joshua, he doesn't argue with the Lord. I mean, when the Lord tells him something, even if though it doesn't compute in his mind, he just says, okay, that's what you say. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Verse 6, so Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord, just like God said. Then he said to the people, go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the Ark of the Lord. And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while they continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you shout, then you shall shout. So he had the ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once. Then they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Now Joshua arose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. Then it came about on the 7th day that they rose early in the dawn, early at the dawning of the day, and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they marched around the city 7 times. And it came about at the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Joshua did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And the people obeyed, and they did what the Lord told them to do. Understand that you experience the victory. The victory on paper is experienced in practice through faith and patience. This is the victory, the Bible says, that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who has overcome the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, it takes faith to do the things that God says to do. It takes faith. And God has us operate that way, because he wants us to trust him, not trust ourselves. Now, if the Lord told you something to do that sounded reasonable to you, You wouldn't need any faith to do that. It'd be like, yeah, that sounds like a good plan, God. So God doesn't give you plans like that. He gives you plans that sound ludicrous to you so that you have to say, ah, okay, I guess I'll do it your way. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. He will make your way straight. So I have to do what God says do, even though it sounds crazy, perhaps, to me. The scripture says in Isaiah chapter 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so far are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts. I don't think like you do, God says. I don't do like you do. My plans are different from yours. So I'm going to tell you something to do that's not going to sound normal, rational to you, and then you're going to have a choice. Are you going to obey me or not? Are you going to do what I say or not? Now, the Bible makes it clear about faith, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That means that you've never had faith, I've never had faith, we've never had faith. No one's ever had faith apart from the word of God, because faith is linked to the word of God. And when you see God do in your life, when you see him bring down the walls of the city, so to speak, in your life, that stronghold in your life, there are three parts to that. There's first God's part. He has to give the command. He has to give the conditional promise. He has to say, this is what you do. That's God's part. We can't conjure that up. That's why this idea of name it and claim it is ridiculous, because you can only claim what God names, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It has to come from the word of God. You have to find it in the word before you can step out on it. So God gives a command, he gives a conditional promise, and then he says, this is what you do. And then we take a step of faith and we do it like Joshua did, like the people did. We do it. And then when we do what God says to do, then God does his part, and God tears down walls, and God parts the rivers, and God does miracles.
We've heard today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve how important faith and patience are to conquering your Jericho. But we're only halfway through this valuable lesson. Make sure that you're here on Friday for the second part of the message from Pastor Jeff's 10-lesson series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. Before we go, a quick reminder that From His Heart is a listener-supported outreach on radio, television, and online, from which Pastor Jeff receives no income. He's our chief volunteer. And when you give a gift, it allows us to expand even more to reach more people for Jesus. You become a missionary yourself when you join with us. For your support this month of any amount, we'll say thank you by sending you the 4-message series from Pastor Jeff entitled Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith. And it also comes with a bonus booklet entitled Not Guilty, because guilt about your failures and mistakes can be a stranglehold on your faith growth. Both the series, Sticking Points, and the booklet Not Guilty for your support this month. To get them, make that gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. You can get the series on a USB flash drive, an MP3 download, CDs or DVDs, along with the booklet Not Guilty. Again, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. God bless you for helping us to tell the world about God's great love found in Christ. Well, again, time has slipped away, but I'm Larry Nobles inviting you to connect with us again on Friday for part 2 of Conquering Your Jericho. That's when we'll again open up God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, celebrating 20 years of broadcasting the truth and love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.